This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Does anybody fear the Cavs on a scale of 1 to 10? 10 being I'm terrified, 1 it's no big deal, I'm at a 2.
Yeah, I would be like a 3.
No. Cavs know they're good. They've got the best record, and yet they look like they're absolutely stuck here.
Tatum, a brave. What a start. It's 25-3.
Mobley steps into a three-pointer. It's in, and the Cavs with their first lead of the night. Timeout, Boston. Shot clock at 5. Mitchell drives, gets inside, layup. Back shot is good, and a foul. What a shot from Mitchell.
The best team in the NBA will improve to 49-10, their ninth straight win, and this one a signature victory for them after trailing by 22, come back and beat the Celtics.
When these little guys fly, you know, they're just inclined to call.
We're just a much better team when Al is out there.
What about the old fella, Big Al?
Oh, Big Al was great tonight. He keeping, you know, Jokic off the glass, knocking down shots. That was a good game by Al.
Cornette, nice feed inside, and Horford gets the layup. Westbrook knocked away, stolen by Horford. Brown picks it up. The advance pass, so the veteran throws it down. Murray against Horford. Pass deflected by Horford. Stolen by the Celtics. Here's Jaylen Brown. Back to Horford. Lays it up and in. 7-point lead with 33 seconds remaining.
They end their mini two-game losing streak. Get a victory at home against the Denver Nuggets.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and it's 5 o'clock here in the city of Boston, Fitzy, but we're still doing a radio show, so we can't live the dream of maybe imbibing.
Well, it's a Monday, too. Probably had a mirthful weekend, so
couple of
best
beers
to get back to taking good care of ourselves. There's another weekend at hand.
Screw that. I think I'm having a couple of beers when I get home. We'll get to that later. We'll also get to, Fitzy, something that I didn't think was so diabolical until I ran it past Rich Keefe on the crossover. And just a quick snippet here. We had a heel turn, a massive heel turn in WWE this weekend. John Cena, Springfield's own, or wherever he's from, went to Springfield College. Springfield's own. Western Mass's own John Cena is now a bad guy heading toward WrestleMania. Yes, for the first time in his decades-long career, the ultimate face is now a heel. We're going to get into what would be some of the most shocking heel turns in professional sports. Scandals, takedowns, teardowns. You know, the Tiger Woods, the Lance Armstrongs of the world when they fall on tough times. So we'll get to that a little bit later. Right now, we're talking Boston Celtics. And I said it to you earlier. I think Donovan Mitchell is more clutch than Jason Tatum. And I know that gets a little pushback from the green teamers, but Tatum has been in a weird spot of late. He had that Washington Post story where he, how did he phrase it? He said, I don't get the respect I deserve. If you took the face and the name off my accomplishments, I would get a lot more credit or respect. And I thought it was kind of ridiculous. You know what? Tatum's biggest fan. It's one thing for his I don't know, biggest hater. Some people want to paint me as a Tatum hater, Fitzy. I don't think I'm that, just because I'm a JB fan and I'm a bit of a critic of Tatum. Doesn't mean I'm his biggest hater. But if his biggest hater says something, okay, whatever. What if his biggest fan pushes back a little bit? So listen to this, Fitzy. Doris Burke, who I believe anyone who's listened to NBA games on ESPN.
Oh, my gosh. She just wants.
Wants what? What's that now?
A long hug from Jason Tatum.
Okay. That's a great way to put it. She praises Jason Tatum as much as anyone. Well, she clearly caught wind of him complaining about not getting the credit and respect he deserves, and she responded on the broadcast this weekend.
Can I just say I would rather him not discuss it?
Yeah.
I have great admiration for him. I think he is a great player, right? You don't make three first team straight All-NBAs without being a great player, but I don't think you need to talk about it.
Well, and I will just compare Tim Duncan. Always never compared himself to others. He never said, hey, we're underappreciated. They just did their work and went to business.
Yeah. So Jason Tatum, I don't know what he wants to be. I'm not sure he knows what he wants to be because he's not a Anthony Edwards self-promoter, right? Like he doesn't play that game. And he just kind of does his thing, I guess just wants to play basketball, does all the marketing, but then he complains that he's not getting enough attention, even though, as Doris Burke points out, what does he exactly want? He's got a ring. He was on the Olympic team. He's got more commercials. Is it safe to say he's got as many commercials as anybody in the NBA not named LeBron these days?
Kevin Hart probably has more.
Kevin Hart's not in the NBA.
Feels like it.
Yeah, I don't think he ever will be. He's shorter than me. I'm not even the shortest Hart people make fun of for being short. Guy's like 5'5". So I don't know what Jason Tatum wants, but this idea of bitching about credit and notoriety and respect and whatever he's looking for, I think it's really telling that his biggest advocate in the national media, his biggest proponent in the national media, Doris Burke, pushed back against it. I think that might be a little wake-up call for Jason Tatum to be like, oh, shoot, Doris Burke's criticizing me? I really must have crossed the line this time.
Yeah, I probably took a wine or a grouse too far in this one. You know, and it's funny. A couple of years ago, when there was that tweet that Jaylen Brown liked saying that he was the most underappreciated athlete in Boston sports.
He is.
Everyone was kind of on board like, yeah, you know what? He does have he's got a point there. I might have to agree with him on this one. Damn, Jaylen Brown is underappreciated. Now Jason Tatum's banging a similar drum and everyone's like, guy, everyone knows your name. Everyone puts respect on your name. Like, just because you didn't win conference finals or NBA finals MVP or don't have your first league MVP yet doesn't mean people don't respect you. You got plenty of respect on. There's plenty of juice on you.
And that's a great point. What's he looking for? What does he want? Because he hasn't earned anything you just listed that he hasn't achieved. He has not. He did not deserve to be the finals MVP.
What
he didn't
they gonna
deserve,
say now, Andy?
Well, they aren't really saying much. He's creating what they are now responding to. He created this, and that's where I think Doris and Richard Jefferson, or however Stiz likes to say it, he likes to really enunciate it, Richard Jefferson, on the broadcast, he doesn't need to be doing this. Like, it feels like he's kind of rolling around in the mud a little bit here for no reason. If he really believes...
feels petty.
Very petty. But if you really believe you're the face of the NBA, or should be the face of the NBA, you don't beg for attention, do you? Doesn't that stuff tend to take care of itself? Doesn't that come with winning, performances, all-star games, the various attributes that you bring to the court?
Results should speak in this matter.
Absolutely. And I've always said that at all levels. Like, when you succeed on the court, field, ice, whatever, everybody in attendance knows, don't they? Everybody on TV knows. They watch it and they're like, oh, shoot, that guy's having a great game, a great day, great performance, great month, whatever. The second you start doing this, it cheapens your performances. And that is, I think, what Doris Burke is getting to. Is Jason Tatum is actually, in his bitching, is actually undercutting the potential to get his own notoriety. I think this is going to have an adverse effect on the attention that he'll get.
Like complaining to the referees on court or in the
always.
Press. You know what you're not going to get? Calls.
Exactly.
If you just shut up and go about your business and let the court of public opinion curry favor for you, guess what? That's when you'll probably get your calls. Going about your business this way, ain't going to work.
Interesting text which I think is leading a little bit in terms of the topic. 508, Tatum is a participation-era child. Is there anything to that? Is he a modern athlete and the participation trophy era? Is he a product of his
environment? I don't think
environment?
That way. Do you?
I didn't until that just came in. Now I'm pondering it in my head as we speak. I think it's interesting. He does not have the killer instinct. He does not have the drive and determination that, and we've talked about this ad nauseum. We don't need to go down that road.
Yeah,
like, is he the alpha, the whole thing? But it's like he wants to be seen as the alpha without acting like the alpha, right? Like, for example, we've talked a lot about Mike Vrabel being an alpha. He's going to be the alpha in the Patriots organization. He's going to be the alpha in the war room. So regardless of what's written in a contract, he's the alpha. Mm-hmm. Is Jason Tatum always the alpha?
No, because his teammate took that alpha role from him for the majority of last year's postseason. So, no, he's not. As a matter, as good as Tatum was at times, Jaylen Brown alpha dogged him in on the way to the banner last year.
I mean, to the point where some people believe that Jaylen Brown got Luka traded.
That was a fun one, wasn't it?
Love it. I love it. I'm not sure I buy it, but as a JB fan, if he's destroying teammates, Jason Tatum, because he took his alpha ability away from him.
Yeah, because Jaylen put Luka on, Jaylen just wrapped him up last year.
Oh, yeah.
Side note to that, Andy.
Yeah.
You let me know when. I'm sure we'll do it on the way to the weekend because Saturday night just got sneaky bigger because of the way the Lake Show is playing of late. Last week we said that there were, during this Celtics stretch, you had to play the Cavs at home on Friday night, team you're going to have to go through in the Eastern Conference if you want to get back to the finals. And then you had a couple big games. There was Sunday, that was March 2nd, against the Nuggets. They won. Got tough, got tight, they won. And then we had March 12th on the docket when we're going to be doing a special live broadcast someplace.
Yeah.
Against
SGA. Is it
SGA.
Just someplace? Can we say it?
Are we allowed to?
I don't know.
We'll let the boss man let us know.
It'll be someplace near the garden that we've been to before.
And he shoots and he does a live broadcast.
Misses!
we're broadcasting for Misses?
Yeah.
I love that place.
It's a new knockoff for Hooters.
So, the other one was the SGA and the Thunder. I think we now officially have to add the Lakers into the mix as the third team in the West that the Celtics, if they can make it back to the finals, need to be concerned with. Lakers are starting to put something together.
Well, can I add a fourth team? The Warriors?
You're going to add the Warriors?
Yeah, I'm absolutely going to add the Warriors.
Oh, jeez.
Because
I'm supposed to sleep.
If I'm going to talk about, and we're going to get to the phone lines in a minute, I see calls lining up on Jason Tatum, 617-779-7937. If I'm going to worry about Donovan Mitchell being more of an alpha dog, more clutch, more whatever than Jason Tatum, then I have to acknowledge that the Golden State Warriors could be more clutch than Tatum and the Celtics in their newfound aging trio of Curry, Draymond Green, and Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler brought a second A-hole to the Bay Area, which is what Draymond Green wanted, and now they've been winning games. And they could be a tough out in the postseason. They could be a tough out for your Celtics. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phone calls. Dave in Natick, what are your thoughts on Jason Tatum right now?
Well, I think the question he was asked was if he feels appreciated as one of the faces of the NBA. So I'm not sure what you want him to say when he's asked that question, especially, I mean, if you think of what, you know, has been said about him in this town, there's been times when people ask for him to be traded. Mm. And I completely agree that he doesn't have Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant's killer instinct. He's not that type of player that, you know, you remember him going for six buzzer beaters and doing all that sort of thing. But at the same time, he's right. If you take his name and face away from it, his resume looks very similar to Luka Doncic, with everybody thought that the Dallas Mavericks had a head injury, the fact that they traded him at all, let alone for a 31-year-old injured superstar. So I think he's right. And I think the other thing that you need to take into account is he's had a very atypical start to a career. The number of players that have been on winning teams, and especially earlier in his career when they're going to conference finals, he was 20, 21 years old, albeit with a veteran cast that led that as opposed to him being the best player on it. I really can't think of another player that came in at 19 and has had that much success that early, where he hasn't had a 30-win season where the coach says, you know what, you'll need this later, but go out and get 45 points and get 25 of them in the fourth quarter, just so that way when you're in the dogfight, you can score those points when it matters.
All right, thanks for the call, Dave. Some interesting points. Certainly Tatum's numbers are historically good. He's starting to rack up numbers, you know, age comparison, career comparisons that are phenomenal, and that puts him in a certain point. I think we all know he puts up great statistics. I mean, there were people that argued he statistically was better than Brown in both the Eastern Conference and the NBA Finals. I didn't, because I thought it was fake numbers. I thought if you watched the games, you saw the importance of Jaylen Brown. But I'll push back against Fitzy. Don't you think if the Celtics traded Jason Tatum, there would have been just as much uproar, maybe even more, than there was for Luka? It would have been the talk of the
world.
You'd
still be trying to put the fires out.
Right. So that's my point. Like, Luka got traded and everybody was like, wait, why are you? Now, Luka's actually younger, so that might be part of it where there is it. But
yeah, but not a time. It's not
enough.
Like, yeah.
Nope. It would have been a massive story, a massive shock. It would have been received very much the same
huge
way.
Huge story.
Huge. Absolutely. So I don't necessarily get that. And I also don't know what attention or accolades he wants that he isn't getting. The ones that can be given have been given to him. Has he deserved to be the MVP yet of the league, the NBA, the regular season MVP?
No, not yet.
You could argue there's really only one person deserving of that award, and his name's not Embiid or anybody else. His name is Jokic. Jokic is the best player in the league every year. He could win that award every freaking season. I almost swore, I think, there. I was getting a little too comfortable.
Yeah, Jokic is kind of in the lane right now, Andy, where LeBron used to be, where MJ always
right.
was. Like, until someone comes and takes it from you, you should be the MVP every season.
And they say that, you know, people get bored and they give it to somebody else just because, you know, somebody's turn to break in. They don't want to give it to the same guy every year. But right now, Jokic is the best player in the NBA. So Tatum, did he deserve to beat out Brown? I don't believe so. I think he has a certain personality. He's a certain style that works for him. And then at times it doesn't work for him. And as far as he was asked a question, yeah, he was asked a question, and you can choose to answer it any way you want. He could have chosen to say, I mean, I'm a young champion, I'm all NBA, I'm an all-star, I think I'm getting plenty of attention, I'm getting plenty of ads, I have my own signature shoe from Jordan Brand, I think I'm doing pretty well for myself at this age. I think I've accomplished as much as most mid-20s athletes or mid-20s superstars, but he chose to say, oh, way, I'm not getting the credit I deserve or the accolades I deserve. People and are people holding his face and his name against him? I don't really think they are. I think they're holding him to a high standard. He's in the
With that level of talent, you should. When all you've done is gone to the Eastern Conference Finals pretty much every year, it's right. okay to be held great. Like, greatness and the realization therein means that you're held to a different standard. You don't beg to be treated like everyone else when your game, your accolades, and your potential aren't like everyone else, Andy.
Fitzy, I'll take us to break with this, and I really think it encapsulates everything. 774. You guys are idiots. That is all. I don't totally disagree.
Carry on. Thank you very
Nailed
much.
It.
Solid text from the text line, 617-779-7937. Your text, your calls, I see him lining up. I know when we criticize Tatum or even question him, we're going to get a little pushback. Up next on WEEI Afternoons, we will also look for heel turns in professional sports. Hell, I got to tell you, Fitzy, I'm going to break the tease rule here. Jason Tatum with a heel turn would be surprising to me. That might be John Cena-esque, but I think there's some other names that would be even more surprising. Surprising would be scandalous heel turns in professional sports. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, and for the last time today, sadly, Dan Ball with...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending? John Cena's mom. It's John Cena's music. For years, one of the true faces of professional wrestling and WWE.
Babyface.
Yeah, babyface, but it's called a face. Good guy. Not a heel. Ho-ho, until this weekend. But we're going to get into that in a minute because I do want to get back to the phone lines just a minute, squeeze a couple calls in here on the conversation we were having about Jason Tatum and does he get the credit he deserves and all of that. So let's go to Ryan in New Hampshire. What are your thoughts on Jason Tatum and his stature in the NBA?
Yeah, I do agree with you guys. I don't think that JT's there yet. He's definitely a top three, but I do think I don't think it's Jokic this year. I think it is going to be Shea's year. I think that he's outperforming. I think he's the top of the league this year.
All right, thanks for the call, Ryan. Yeah. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander could win the award, and
I think he's the front runner right now.
He gambling wise, you mean odds leader? Don't we
odds
also
on.
Where are those like? Don't they have straw polls or whatever? There's one of those media people that polls some of the voters and starts to give an idea of where they're leaning or where they're trending. I think there's a NBA MVP straw poll, but yeah, you could give it to him. But I just think you could also every single year if you wanted to. Give it to Jokic. I mean, he's the best player.
I don't think a lot of people would complain about that.
We just, like, he had an off game in a loss to the Celtics, and he had, whatever, 20 points, 15 rebounds, 9 assists, whatever. Like, the guy is...
That's what he rolls out of bed with.
And...
It's a large bed.
He's... I would hope it's a large bed. I would hope it's not even, like, a California king. I would hope it's a Denver Nuggets specially made king-size bed. I've always assumed that. Because even I sometimes, when you get into a bed and you're like, my feet are kind of near the end of the bed. And I'm short, and I always wonder, like, what do these 7-footers do? They must,
yeah.
California kings aren't even really that big. They must have.
No, I'm 6'2", and I like my feet come, darn near the edge of it all.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to get custom beds or sleep diagonally on the bed from Willy Wonka.
Or it doesn't matter because they all make like $50, $60, $70, $80 million a year, so they can really sleep on their money if they chose to and just stack
that
it up.
Also works.
And that would work. All right. So you heard the music. John Cena, heel turn. He is under the powers of The Rock. I don't know exactly where the storyline is going, but Elimination Chamber yesterday. Stiz has a little audio to whet your appetite a little bit here.
WrestleMania, John Cena.
And now The Rock's doing that.
What the?
What the? So what that audio was Cena and Cody Rhodes hugging. They're going to fight, but they're both good guys, and it's all great. And Cena is facing The Rock, who's in the corner of the ring. Also, what's his name's in the ring?
Travis Scott.
Travis Scott came out with The Rock, and no one really knows why. He was smoking a blunt.
So stupid.
I guess he actually got caught up in it. They think he was high. I guess he literally, like, not fake punched, but flat out punched Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, he did.
And, like, was screwing up even what he was supposed to do as part of the performance. Anyway, so we have John Cena hugging Cody Rhodes in the middle of the ring, and The Rock just does like the throat slash gesture to Cena. He then kicks Cody Rhodes in the nuts, and then they beat the snot out of him. He ends up bleeding. They're beating him down. Anyway, So it's a massive heel turn. This is sort of similar to Hulk Hogan when he went NWO and had the heel turn in WCW. Cena's basically been a career babyface. So this got me thinking. We've had some scandals. Tiger Woods would be at top of the list, I think, for some people. I talked about Deshaun Watson, Justin Tucker. These are guys that were really well thought of that all of a sudden the bottom fell out of their world because of really creepy, disgusting, weird things that they were doing. So, Fitzy, if I asked you, what would be, and it doesn't have to be an active player, you know, anybody, any, like, great athlete, all-time legend from the sports world, if I asked you what would be the most shocking heel turn and you found out this guy is really not who I thought he was, he's a bad guy, he's been doing this, he's been doing that, who would be the most shocking heel turn in the world of professional sports?
Ooh, right now it would...
So active players are good, yeah, but also
I'm going to go active players. I'm going to say if it turned out that Patrick Mahomes was... some sort of bad actor, you know, like was like stealing money from his foundation or getting shipments from Ashley Manning or, you know what I mean? Like, you know, because the people have had their issues with Mrs. Mahomes, with Brittany.
Yep.
And obviously his brother is a dink on rye.
And his dad's got some issues.
Yeah. His dad is going to fight John Rocker in April.
No, that's off. That was all fake.
Oh, it was?
I mean, it was real, but the fight in the streets, the near fight in the streets, was a setup to get you interested in the would-be.
You have got to be kidding me.
No, and then...
That was a work? Come on.
Yeah, but they had to admit it was a work because his parole officer was like, you're not allowed to be doing these things. What's this all about? So they had to admit that it was staged or he would have gone to prison.
Oh, his parole officer because of his DUIs.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So... for that reason, I'm not going to lie to you, and this sounds terrible, and this might have been where Rich Keefe was like, wait, you guys are going to speculate about people having skeletons in their closet on the radio? I was like, yeah, we're going to play radio. We do it sometimes. Why don't you just worry about your Kiefer madness and the aliens or the snakes and the freaking banana tray? When you skate your lane, we'll skate ours, Keefe.
Wow, that got aggressive.
It did. Anyway, back to this. So just what you mentioned, though, people don't like his wife, they don't like his brother, and they don't like his dad. Mm-hmm. So wouldn't that lend you to believe, guilt by association? Maybe there's some skeletons in his closet. Maybe
the guy hangs out with dinks.
Yeah.
His wife is a dink.
Kelsey's even a dink.
There's a dink factor. There's dink adjacency around him.
So maybe he's a dink. You are the company you keep. Remember those motivational?
Yeah, but he just did that nice thing. Remember the kid that sank the, I understand the company you keep factor, but.
Dinks do nice things.
Last week.
I do lots of nice things.
He did that nice thing where the kid that hit the putt on the court, at a Texas Tech game,
yes.
Like now they're paying for a scholarship and they're doing all these really cool things for him and his family. Like that's the kind of stuff he doesn't have to do. Like a good dude does that.
Yeah.
But it turns out if Mahomes was funneling all that money into like a secret volcano lair to hold America hostage, then that would have been.
Well, let's just say something. Let's just say
Bond villain.
We find out that he drinks 12 Coors Lights before every game he's ever played in.
I would probably have to go get a Patrick Mahomes jersey.
And people would be like, that explains why you're not in great shape. That's a lot of beers to be drinking before you take the field.
It's carbonated sports water.
Also explains the weird waddle when you're on the field. It would all come together. Okay, so...
Side note, I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back in tremendous shape this fall.
I would be. I think that leopard's too old to change his stripes. He might be in better shape, but I don't think... I also don't think he has, for whatever reason... This is weird to say because he's a great athlete, could have been a major league player, is an NFL player. I don't think he has the genetics to have a great body. I just, for whatever reason, it doesn't seem like it's really in the cards for him. So I'll take that bet. I am going to throw out a name. Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe this guy's not as good as I think he is because he can be a little bit annoying. He's got a temper, but I think he's pretty clean and crisp. Steph Curry. If Steph Curry came out and all of a sudden there was some really bad scandal. Wouldn't that shock you?
Yeah, because he's a sweetheart of the American sports scene. He produced that family-friendly mini golf show years ago. My kid loved it.
Yeah.
Holy moly on ABC.
Yep.
Like, he seems a very family-centric guy. Now, he's got an edge when he plays, no doubt.
But that's a sports edge.
But, like, what if it turns out that all these years, every time he chews on his mouthpiece, he's sending a signal for someone to, like, kidnap a puppy?
All right, that took a dark turn. I was just going to say he maybe kicks a kitten every once in a while if it meows too much at night. Another one I'll throw out there. This guy I legit would be stunned. Legit. Steph Curry, there's a slight opening, and I don't know why. Larry Fitzgerald. If there was a bad word that came out against Larry Fitzgerald, I would be... Even if it was, I don't know, financial, he had a Ponzi scheme and he took a bunch of money from other players or something. In my mind, Larry Fitzgerald is a borderline saint. He's in like Tim Tebow world. Tim Tebow could be another option on the table. What if Tim Tebow was doing bad things?
The cult of Tebow.
What if he was like, all those trips to Thailand, it was really a drug smuggling operation or like a kidnapping operation.
He's got some skeletons in his closet.
Excuse me, Stiz?
Oh, yeah. I don't trust Tebow.
You don't trust Tebow?
No.
So you don't
as
even
far
think
as he could throw a football?
So you expect him to have a heel turn at some point?
We might not find out, but there's something going on.
I feel like we always find out. Almost always find out. There's a lot of dirt that gets out there. Another guy I threw in there. Maybe I'm wrong on this, but he seems pretty clean to me. Is Wayne Gretzky not a super clean guy?
Do you know about Janet, right?
Yeah, that's
20
not
years ago, all the gambling scandals?
Yeah, that's not Wayne.
I know, but he was connected to her. Like he probably he probably went to bed at night like knowing like
that's where he got connected.
My wife's in it for a couple hundred grand.
Okay, so you don't think Wayne Gretzky? How about this one, Tim Duncan? The guy Tatum is compared to.
Oh, yeah. Tim Duncan, like the quiet assassin.
I don't even know where he is. Where is he?
Probably on an island just chilling out.
Yeah. And so that brings us.
Being rich and happy.
Would it stun you if Jason Tatum had a scandal?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. And I'm a critic of Tatum in a variety of ways. I think it would really stun me if he had any sort of scandal that kind of undercut the image we have for him.
Well, all right, what about people that are sort of adjacent to the sports world, big in entertainment?
Jim Nantz.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine if Jim Nantz had like four families in four different parts
of
the country?
Is it not possible?
Wow.
I feel like this is the speculation Keith was wondering whether it was appropriate for the airwaves. Tony Romo.
Nah, probably not.
LeBron could have one. Stiz just said LeBron. He was afraid to say it on air, so he said it in my ear. So I said it on air and credited Stiz.
Well, there's a thing going on, like, with Drake and LeBron. They're beefing.
Oh, come on. Really?
No, well, because LeBron's supposed to be, like, Drake's big brother, and LeBron showed up at the Kendrick Lamar concert, so Drake has had a hair across his butt, and Drake is saying, he put out a diss track saying LeBron's not as squeaky clean as he would like to be, make himself out to be, and he's done some questionable things with me. While out
Excuse
with me on tour.
What does that mean, though?
Affairs. Like cheating on his wife.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of assume...
Some road salad.
Yeah. Road salad.
I'm not even sure I consider that scandalous in that sense. Like, this is negative. I kind of assume, like, a lot of these guys are doing that sort of stuff on the road. I mean, that could...
But that would be a huge scandal. If that came out, like, 100% proof, TMZ tomorrow, LeBron James caught with, mistress.
Note to the Drake and Kendrick Lamar feud. Great joke last night by Conan O'Brien during the Oscars. Hey, we've now reached the halfway point of...
Don't do it.
Tonight. What's that?
No, go ahead.
Oh, all right. If you don't want... All right. I won't say it then.
About Sidney Crosby. We got some Sidney Crosby votes on the text line.
I was
John
go,
Olerud. I agree with that one.
Sean Casey.
Oh! The obvious one is right before our eyes, like John Cena when you couldn't see him.
What's that?
St. Bregman.
OMG.
What if he took like the whole bus of kids to like, I don't know, the strip club or whatever, and it all went awry this road trip to face the Orioles at Ed Smith Park? I can't believe we missed
it. He's the coolest guy in the world. How about other broadcasters and whatnot? How about what if we found out Ryan Seacrest was like a Russian operative?
I could see that. He's right before our eyes. Plus he seems like he's a robot. He works all the time. When is enough enough?
Yes, and your American Idol has been false.
Dan Ball, you said you had one you'd like to offer up?
Yeah, mine is Shohei Ohtani, who turns heel by partnering with his former translator and noted convicting gambler Shohei, or what's his name, Ipe Mizuhara, and opens up either a bookmaking operation or a gambling ring of some kind.
You just stunned me, because I would have never known his translator's name. Ever. If you had said, what's his name, I would have said, I don't know. I would not have offered up an option.
All right, I did poke around a little bit before I shared it on the air.
Let's go to the phone calls, because Chris in New Hampshire has a Boston sports heel turn. Chris, what's up?
Joe Castiglione. That would be the one. That would blow my mind.
Thanks for the
Not
call,
the living
Chris.
Legend. No.
Ain't nothing but a G thing, baby.
I agree with Chris. Chris nailed it. That might be the best answer of all time. Joe Castiglione is a saint. He's a baseball god. He's a broadcasting god. I assume that he is the perfect grandfather, husband, friend, neighbor, everything. If I heard even a little scandal about Joe Castiglione, like if I just heard that I was behind Joe Castiglione and he rolled his window down and threw his garbage out the window, his empty soda can, that would stun me.
Don't pull up at 6 a.m. to cuddle with me.
Al Michael. What do we think of Al Michael? Because I don't put Al Michael in that category. No,
yeah,
it says
Al
on
Michael,
the text line,
dude.
Al Michael.
Al Michaels always talked about like the over and the lines and point spreads in the games for decades. So
you think he's got a dark side?
He's probably met a couple of people. The guy's never eaten a vegetable in his life.
Vice TV, the dark side of Al Michael through all the years. It's not all just Miracle on Ice. Mike Gorman is another good one in the Joe Castiglione vein. Mike Gorman would surprise me if he had a dark side.
Oh, what if we found out that Vin Scully had been running a cult?
That would stun me. That would absolutely stun me. But you
Talk
never
about
know.
A heel
Baseball
turn.
People are different. It's a long season. You got to do something to get by through the
Like
long
he had
season.
Nine wives in Utah.
Tim in Natick has a thought on heel turn candidates. Tim, what's up?
Gentlemen, my heel turn. Even if I witnessed something with my own eyes, I still would be like, nah, it wasn't happening. Bobby Orr.
That's a very good one. That's a really good one. Bobby Orr is kind of a saint in these parts. He's a legit saint, Bregman. You need to earn your stripes like Bobby Orr did. That'd be interesting. Bobby Orr is the kind of guy like you walk in and he's like in bed with your wife and you're like, honey, what are you doing? Bobby, you need something to drink? You're doing a
Mr.
fine
Orr,
job.
Mr. Orr, would
there.
You mind autographing this, please?
Could you, when you're done, could we get a picture over here? Just the two of us. We don't need her in it. Okay, so that was a fun little segment. I didn't know, it just popped up to me because of the Cena thing. I didn't see that coming. Fitzy, I'm not a wrestling guy like Keith, so when that started going crazy on my social media, I was like, am I seeing this right? Is
yeah,
Cena
those photos kind of caught me off guard at first. Like,
yeah.
I too was surprised by that, but it hit me where it counts to folks, because it's so real to me, damn it.
How about Jimmy Johnson?
Well, I mean, congratulations on a great career.
Yeah, we
think
nailed
he's
that
being
one.
Forced into broadcast retirement.
Yeah, it's like when Jordan had to play baseball. The league was going to suspend him, so he had to retire anyway. I don't know. 617.
We don't find Jimmy Johnson's relatives in a ditch.
Wow, that just got real. It was just a lighthearted joke when I said it. You put details to the joke and made it sad and real. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it will be the end of the show. That means odds and ends, and Nick Fitzy Stevens has something special for us today in Odds and Ends. That's up next here.
Last week, a U.S. appeals court blocked a Biden-era student debt relief plan, which means the only way for young people to pay off their student loans is by dating Bill Belichick.
Hey, Bill. I hear you like I'm young.
Speaking of odds and ends, that's an odd pairing. Odds and Ends is brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. That was obviously the weekend update on Saturday Night Live, poking a little fun at Bill Belichick and Jordan out there. Although Jordan been doing good things. I see her on my social media. She's big in helping the fishermen on the East Coast. She's up in Maine. She speaks at fishermen's meetings. She's trying to save the lobstermen. So she's doing good things up there.
Maybe young, but an old soul.
Okay, good for her. Because, right, you know, fishermen, lobstermen, a lot of old souls.
Got nothing against her. This is just a surface level lull that Michael Che and the SNL Weekend Update writers came up with. Yeah, BB's catching strays, but when you're three times the age of your GF, these things are going to happen. Yeah, and you're as public a figure as Belichick.
Correct. If you don't want to have these jabs, then I'm sorry. Date somebody that's not 50 years younger than you and move on and nobody will notice. It's fine. Speaking of moving on, so we have the first contribution of Saturday Night Live here. Now we have the second one, Fitzy, which definitely one of the better skits I've seen in a while. As I said, Stiz and I have been living this for a while, but can you set this up for us?
Yes, so Shane Gillis, who's been a guest host many times, one of the most popular stand-ups in the country, does killer commercial parodies and sketches whenever he's on. I think they're better than his monologues as well. And this Saturday night, he put one on. It was a commercial parody for something I think we could all use. And like you said, many of us have been using in secret for a long time, that many online said might have been the funniest bit SNL has pre-taped in 20 years.
Have a great day, gang.
You too, hon.
You wouldn't know it, but a few months ago, anxiety and depression were ruining my life. I was struggling at work. Hey,
you need something, bud?
I was struggling as a father.
Ah, come on, Andrew, you can't be bad at school and sports.
And struggling as a husband.
It's not because my mom's doctor thinks that we should move her into an assisted living place.
That's awesome. I was at a real low point. That's when I talked to my doctor about a couple of beers. A couple of beers is a revolutionary medicine that treats anxiety and depression fast. And within minutes of taking it, I'm back to my old self.
Andrew! I love you, buddy. You're the best in the whole world.
And my confidence is through the roof. What are you guys laughing at? How stupid you are?
No, no, no!
Jay, you look freaking hot, man. You been doing like Pilates?
Excuse me?
Whoa, sorry. I'm just having a tough time adjusting to my new medication.
So anyway, it goes on for a little while and puts him in different scenarios and settings. And it's just a perfect little two-minute, highly relatable, our demo bracket type of parody. Like, and that's the whole, I think that's part of the appeal of Shane Gillis, is he is just like, as he did in his Netflix series, Tires, which was funny, done dirt cheap. He just appeals. He's in all these Bud Light ads now. Mm. And people said he's brought the mainstream appeal back to Bud Light to a certain degree. Like, he's got an affability, relatability, and a blue-collar sense about him that people just dig. And the couple of beers pharma parody was just aces.
And it also makes sense. It's a little bit like the, you know, why don't they make the whole plane out of the same material as the black box and then everybody would survive kind of thing.
Yeah, it was like little John Belushi's famous, like, little, you know, little chocolate donuts training thing. Like, it's absurd.
If your therapist prescribes you something, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm on medication to deal with some depression right now, whatever. And not that I'm making light of that, but... Isn't self-medicating what a lot of us have been doing for years, Stiz?
When we have a long time. A
couple of Miller Lights there, and it's frowned upon in some areas. You show up at the ball field, like Shane said, and all of a sudden people are questioning how you're medicating.
The lot, you can't be bad at school and sports.
Contrary, I've seen a lot of kids that are.
Real quick, a couple other things in odds and ends, cleaning it up. Andy, like we said, Jimmy Johnson retires from Fox NFL pre- and post-game. Who do we think that means more of, or who could be in line for the throne?
See, that's interesting, because I heard Jones and Keefe speculating on this. Is it like, oh, you know, more Gronk? I don't know that you want to expand Gronk's role. I think that
he's doing just
diminishing returns kind of thing. You don't want to promote the third down back to the first two downs of every series.
How about his former teammate there, Andy?
Julian Edelman is one that I wonder about. And I do understand Fox maybe wanting to get younger. And I like that show. I think that's the best pregame show. I think that is the closest thing you get to TNT and Ernie Johnson and Shaq and those guys. If anybody's kind of lost their fastball to me, it's Terry Bradshaw. It might be time for him to go. I would have kept Jimmy Johnson, moved on from Terry Bradshaw. But it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see. Maybe Tom Brady.
Jimmy made the call. Who knows?
What if Tom Brady doesn't want to do the weekly travel anymore and just does the show, and that alleviates the issue of him going to... production meetings and practices and teams. What if he can just comment? Although he can't do that either. He's not allowed to comment on the league, really.
No, that's the one spot he most definitely couldn't be in. The new Celtics documentary, Celtic City, drops tonight at 9:00, Andy, if you want to throw that on in between games or just for your Boston sports celebratory content.
Did you say in between beers?
Yes, and okay. In between a couple of beers. And lastly, the Oscars were last night, and the Best Picture winner was... Nora, and that begs the question. I know none of you have seen it, though Stiz and I will have eventually. Keefe saw most of the Best Picture nominees. I only saw about half.
Brag.
What was the best movie everyone here saw in 2024?
Jiminy Christmas. Don't ever put me on the spot again. What was the last? I told you guys whatever movie I really liked. I don't see a lot of movies.
Mighty Ducks 3.
Oh, I watched Fall Guy recently. I enjoyed that.
See, there you go. That was a 2024 film.
Yeah, that was a relatively new movie.
There you go.
I don't see a lot of movies.
Ballhawk, did you see anything last year that you loved?
Nothing's coming to mind. I apologize for not having something in this spot, but I can't think of anything offhand.
I bet you somebody who just joined the studio will have something offhand. Christian Arcan, the host of the Christian Arcan Show. Fitzy wants to know, what is the best movie you saw in the last year, Christian Arcan? He rolled his eyes at you, Fitzy, because he doesn't have his headphones on yet. I may have rushed him. I may have been a little premature.
I don't do a lot of movies. I hate it. I don't know about you guys.
Also, real quick, before he goes on, while I was in traffic being rerouted today with Route 24 closed, have you guys ever been to a restaurant in Brockton called Frank's Hot Dogs and Clams? Because I laughed out loud when I saw
the combo.
I laughed out loud when
I saw
the
sex bar or a restaurant.
I've never been in there, but I've seen it, yeah.
Of course you've seen it. You've been to every restaurant that
I just said I haven't been there.
I mean, but you were aware of it. Would you go there to a restaurant?
Bet your ass I would.
Frank's Hot Dog and Clams?
Definitely.
Dude. It's right down the street from a cabaret, which I also found interesting.
Same name?
Hot Dog and Clams. Basically, they share clientele. So, what was the best movie you saw this year?
I didn't really see too many movies this year. I just watched a documentary on HBO about Luigi Mangione, and it didn't tell you anything that wasn't already out there. It was the most useless thing in the world.
So, by the way, guys, on Netflix, that documentary, the one like We Beat the Dream Team about the college kids that scrimmage against the 1992 Dream Team.
I don't even know about that.
Yeah, it's on Netflix now. Also supposed to be like kind of meh.
Oh, really?
I think there's too many documentaries, and more like you're talking about with Mangione, where the whole event hasn't even played itself out yet, and they're already rushing some document. I watched one of those. Oh, the Diddy thing. There were like two or three, and I'm like, can we wait to see how this is resolved? More information seems to be forthcoming.
Nope.
And it's like, and you know what? You know who? But we prove them right because they put it on and we watch it.
True.
Idiots.
That's the Gabby Petito one on Netflix is new. I watched that over the weekend. That's pretty good.
My daughter was bitching about, can we turn the Celtics-Cavs off because she wanted to watch that? And I said, no, we cannot. This is the greatest game I've ever watched when they lost.
I heard about the Gabby Petito thing. I find that whole thing very sad. I don't really want to watch or like consume any more of that media, especially on a big sports weekend like this was.
Huge.
And we have a lot to react to. I think the biggest thing was the Herald story. Mass Live, the triumvirate over there, they did a great job, I think, of getting all the rumors from the Combine. And then here comes the Herald with their own fresh batch of great rumors and innuendo and so forth. We're going to have a lot of that today. And we're going to be joined, I'm excited for this, by the world's most dangerous man. Ken Shamrock is going to call in at 7 o'clock.
Good guess.
Talking
that's a
with
huge
Ken
get.
Shamrock. Yeah, he's got a fight coming up. Well, he doesn't have a fight, but he's promoting a fight coming up at Foxwoods in a couple of weeks. And I remember him winning King of the Ring right back when I was in high school when he was in WWF.
Absolutely.
So I don't know how much of that he wants to talk about, but that's what I want to talk
about. Ask him about his fight with Kimbo Slice, too. That was like a feud for a little while.
Rest in power, Kimbo Slice.
That's right.
For sure. All right, I'll ask him about that. That's coming up at 7 o'clock.
Real quick, since you're doing a bunch on the Herald, I don't know if this isn't really an expose. It's more of a notebook of everything they got at the Combine. Do you question, like, why is so much information out there?
Oh, why is so much stuff leaking out right now?
Yeah, and is that good or bad?
I mean, I don't think this is anything new. Stuff was leaking out at the end. Remember the big, it was the Herald again. It was Karen when she was still there. Karen and Andrew, the whole Bill effed us thing and all that. It's been going on since before this regime or the Mayo regime or even the Belichick regime. So
On during the good days of the Belichick regime.
Not to this extent, but when things go wrong.
Supposed to be bringing back the good days.
When things go wrong, people want answers. And who's ready to give it to them? Who's been here for all three regimes?
Okay, just ponder that as you work your way through all that information.
I've been pondering, don't worry.
So lots of pondering on the Christian Arcan show tonight, 6 to 10. Also, the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock. What time was that?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. I win.
Yeah,
he definitely had the ankle lock.
Yeah. Ken Shamrock, 7 o'clock on WEEI. WEEI Afternoons, signing out. Nick Fitzy, Stevens, Andy Hart, Stiz, Dan Ball. Great job. Brian Frazoco, good job on the montage for the Celtics game. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 2 to 6. See you. DJ Jazzy Dick Jeff.
I want to see the kids.
More of a buffet of Andy today.
Wow, wow, wow. WEEI in the afternoons today.